Upgrade is our series. This year's a year of upgrading our life. If you have a computer, you know what upgrading means. If you have an automobile, you know what upgrading means. If you have a rifle and a scope, come on, somebody. A fishing pole, you know what upgrading means. I want more, I want more. We want to upgrade that stuff, right? We want bigger, better, nicer, newer. But in your life with God, I'm hoping you want to upgrade. I'm hoping that you're not like, well, this is good enough. I hope he comes back soon. I'm hoping you want an upgrade. I hope that you know that life can be better than it was last year. You can be closer to God than you were last year. You can understand more, experience more than you have ever before in your life. You can, and God wants you to. He wants you to. So this is called Encounter Today. We are one encounter away from an amazing upgrade in our life. Has anybody ever had an encounter with God that upgraded your life? Let me see your hand. You had an encounter with God that totally upgraded your life. Man, I could get all my feet up and everything, you know. It's God has intersected with my life so many times and made my life better, upgraded me. There's times that I was so confused and I didn't know, and he revealed truth to me. There's times I was so powerless, I didn't even know what to do next. And he empowered me, and he gave me the direction of what to do next. There were so many times I felt overwhelmed, and he came and strengthened me. There were times that I was looking for nothing, and God showed up anyway and said, Kelly, understand this, receive this, encounter this. Now let's go do something with that. I think some of the best times are when I'm just minding my own business, and God interrupts me and encounters with me. That's really cool. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 was called Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was a passionate man pursuing what he thought was right. Well-trained, well-educated, fully committed to the tradition of his forefathers, and was zealous, passionate. So much so that Saul of Tarsus was actually persecuting the church. He was killing Christians, imprisoning Christians. He was fighting what he thought was heresy, false teaching, untrue. He thought it was dangerous. He thought it was outlandish until he had an encounter with God. That encounter with God radically changed his life. And Saul of Tarsus, who was a Jesus hater, became a Jesus lover. Some of you can remember that day in your life when you became a Jesus lover instead of a Jesus hater. Man, I think there's some of our contemporaries, some of our neighbors that are just about to have an encounter with God that is going to radically change their life. That currently they don't like church, and they don't like God, and they don't like the Bible. But when they have an encounter, they're going to become somebody like Saul of Tarsus, who turns into the Apostle Paul. He was a persecutor, but he became a leader of that which he once persecuted. There's a lot of those in our generation today. There's guys that hated the church and persecuted the church. Josh McDowell was one of those guys. He was a humanist, hated the church. He set out to disprove the Bible once and for all. And in all of his investigation, the dude got saved and has become a great expositor of the Word of God and opening the door of salvation to tens of thousands of people. And there's person after person after person like that. Maybe some of you sitting in this room are one of those people. Paul went from a know-it-all to somebody who said, I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm the least. I persecuted the church. I was so wrong for so long. I'm the least. It's pretty cool when you get humbled to the point where you thought you were the know-it-all, you thought you had it all figured out, to where you encounter God and you have this humility that says, I count it a privilege that he called me and allowed me to even participate in this kingdom, in his ministry. And Paul says things like that. He went from a man who was fighting God to a man who would be greatly rewarded by God. Now that's a transition. And it all happened with an encounter. If you don't know the story, you can look it up in Acts chapter 9. But Saul of Tarsus was hauling people off to jail, and he got a legal decree to go to Damascus and arrest anybody who was calling on the name of Jesus Christ. All the Christians, and the name back then was The Way. All the people that were in the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so they started calling themselves the way. And anybody that was involved at the Life Center in those days, you know, or church in those days, or in the way, or in Christianity, he was hauling them off to jail to be killed, to be tortured. Men or women, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. But on his way, he encountered God. On his way, God spoke to him. God revealed himself to him. God shone this bright light in his eyes. And you know that Saul of Tarsus was blind for 3 days. I thought of what an amazing encounter it was. He's on his horse, headed to Damascus with an army of people arresting persecuting, and all of a sudden God says, boom, knocks him off his horse, shines this bright light into his eye, and he says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And his answer was, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah. I'm creator of heaven and earth, and you're persecuting me. Why? You, in your heart, you want to follow me. In your heart, you want to do what's right. You want to follow what's right. And you're very zealous. And you're very passionate. You're willing to sacrifice everything for what's right. But you're all wrong right now. God loves intersecting with honest hearts, sincere hearts. Jesus looked at him and shone that bright light in his eyes, and he said, it's really hard for you to kick against the goads. These goads have these sharp, big old thorn things sticking out of them. Can you imagine somebody in sandals kicking that? When you're fighting God, when you're pursuing the wrong stuff, even sincerely, you're hurting yourself. You're kicking against the goads. Man, that's tough stuff. Saul ended up going to a guy's house and was blind for 3 days. And God had an encounter with a guy named Ananias. See, the encounters of God involve multiple layers of people and activity. You and I can be fully participating in our encounter with God, but also in other people's encounter with God. Their life change. You and I can be participating in that. We should be. That's what ministry really is about. That's really what church should be about, helping that happen and occur. Ananias heard God speak to him. I hope you hear God. I hope that your ears are tuned to listen to his voice. Well, that's weird stuff, hearing voices in your head. people get straitjackets and medicine for stuff like that. Yeah, but in the Bible, it says, my sheep know my voice. If you're not hearing voices, or at least his voice, you're not normal. Some of you are going, oh, I already knew I wasn't normal. But I don't say that to put you down. I just say that to say it should be normal for you to hear God's voice. Ananias heard God's voice and says, I want you to go to this street, to this guy's house, and there's a guy named Saul of Tarsus there, and I want you to pray for him that he might receive his sight because he's blind. And Ananias goes, God, don't you know that he's the dude that's persecuting us and he has papers where he can take me to prison? Like we're telling God new information. You guys ever talk to God like that? You're trying to inform God of something you think he doesn't know? And he goes, trust me, I know. This guy has had an encounter. He's never going to be the same. So Ananias walked in the door and he said these amazing words, Brother Saul. Wow. An immediate acceptance, an immediate faith. Brother Saul, I've come to pray for you. And he prayed for him. Immediately, he received his sight. Immediately, I don't know what happened those 3 days. Can you imagine that kind of an encounter? What would you be thinking for those 3 days? See, Paul was super educated. I'm pretty sure he's going over all these verses, and the Holy Spirit is just powerfully upon him and reminding him and showing him and teaching him. He's got nothing to do. He's blind for 3 days. And when he receives his sight, he jumps up and he begins to powerfully instruct anybody that will listen and prove to them Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. Saul ended up having a brand new problem. Now they all wanted to kill him. The people that had given him the decrees and the people that were supporting him now wanted to kill him. His words were so powerful. His words were so convincing. You know what? A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And God wants you and I to experience him. Nobody can tell me God isn't real. Too late. I've already encountered him. He's real. That's like telling me huckleberry pie doesn't taste good. Too late. I've had it. It's awesome. It's awesome. Trying to tell me that Jesus isn't real, you're way too late for that because I've encountered him. I hope you have encountered him. And I hope that you will have greater encounters than ever before this year. The reason we pray and fast the first 21 days of the year is because we're saying, God, we want more. We want what you want. We want to tune our ears and point our heart in the right direction for 2015. Saul became a man who was causing others to suffer, but now he was willing to suffer. If you read Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, he says, I count everything else dung, loss, worthless, trash, compared to the glory of the Lord and the fellowship that I have with God. Paul had some stuff. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was highly educated. He was a highly skilled tent maker. This guy had resources and connections. He had a pedigree, you know, it was that long. It opened doors for him. He said, all of that is worthless compared to my Jesus. And I really want more encounters that causes me to know that even better than I know it today. When you're fasting, hopefully after a few days you get to the point of that food that I want so bad is nothing compared to this fellowship that I'm having with my Creator. Hopefully you get to that point. Yeah, my belly's growling and I still have hunger pains. But that cheeseburger with bacon on it, and cheese, and bacon, and cheese. Can you tell I'm fasting? That supersize the fries, and chocolate malt milkshake. Come on, Jesus. That's worthless compared to my relationship with Him and the nearness that I experience when I seek Him, when I encounter Him. We want you all to get there and experience that. You're not going to get there the first 3 days because all you can think about is the food. This is like day four. It's starting to get a little better. But all you can think about is what you're not doing, what you're giving up. Upgrades come in all shapes and sizes. What's the upgrade going to look like? I don't know what the upgrade's going to look like for you. God could heal your body. That would be a huge upgrade for some of us, right? Come on. God could heal your body. That would be a huge upgrade. God could give you a vision or a dream and just radically change your life. You can encounter Him that way. God could give you a prophetic word where He just reads your mail and speaks deep to your heart and just amazingly stirs you towards this thing that He's revealing. That could happen. You could open up the Bible and all of a sudden, things that you've read before come alive and it all comes together and you're going, wow, that's what that means? That's the power of that word in my life? And you can start doing that and participating in that and experience amazing things. You could hear a still small voice of just comfort, of just peace, of just acceptance. Sometimes God just gives me a little hug and He just says, Kelly, you're fine. You're going to be fine. Sometimes that's all I need, that encounter of just, oh, I'm stressing and I'm concerned and God just comes up and says, you're going to be fine. Okay, thank you. Thank you. There's no real formula. Sometimes a friend will just speak into your life. Sometimes a friend will just say a word and all of a sudden, boom, that's exactly what you needed to hear. You've just had an encounter. And somebody else was participating in that. How many of you know that God can do anything He wants to do? God's God, right? Have you read the Bible? God does some crazy things. He does some crazy things. He can do anything He wants to do. The axe head fell off the handle and sunk in the water. The guy goes, hey, I borrowed it. I can't pay for that axe head. And the prophet cuts off a twig and throws it in the water, and the axe head floats to the surface. Really? That's crazy. God can do anything. But you know what? Every time you lose something in the water, carving a little stick and throwing it in is not going to make it rise to the surface. There's no formula. Just because God does something one way, one time, does not mean that you and I now get to make a formula out of that. He can do anything He wants to do. Any way He wants to do it, any time He wants to do it. There's crazy things in the Bible. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. There's some crazy things in the Bible that God does. We should not make a doctrine out of any unique experience, but we should keep our heart and mind open. Keep your heart and mind open. God, I'm asking You for an encounter. I'm seeking You for more. And I'm just going to keep my heart and mind open. Say, well, that's dangerous. You could be open to anything. Well, I'm going to deal with that because I knew you would be thinking that. So we're going to deal with that next here. Some worry they will get something bad as they seek for an upgrade or a new encounter with God. It's like I'm seeking God, I'm fasting and I'm praying, and the devil's going to slip something bad in. Really? You think God's going to let that happen? Let's look at Luke chapter 11, verse 5. He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' He will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me, the door is shut, my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give to you. I just got the baby to sleep.'" We are not going to wake up the baby to give you a couple loaves of bread. Get out of here. Shh. "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, but because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." What's that all about? It's all about you and I being persistent in our seeking God. It's like, well, I asked once, that's all I need to do. Well, this story, Jesus is telling this story, trying to get you and I to learn to be persistent. Trying to get you and I to keep seeking. It says the dude won't open his door because you're his friend, but if you keep knocking, he's going to say, "Just be quiet, I'll get up, you're going to wake up the baby." He said, "I'll give you bread, I'll give you a leg of lamb, I'll give you anything else you want in my house, just be quiet." And it doesn't mean that God's reluctant to give us our needs or to meet our needs. It just means he wants you to be persistent in seeking him. Because sometimes it's your seeking that is going to impact you greater than if he gave it to you the first time you asked. What is faith? Is faith asking once and then believing that a second asking is a lack of faith? Or is faith continuing to ask? Continuing to believe, continuing to seek until it occurs. For me, and reading in this verse, I think faith is persistent seeking. Lord, I know this is for me. I know you're going to encounter me. I know I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. Otherwise, I could ask once and say, he must not want me to have it. He must not like me. He must like other people instead of me. They got it, but I didn't get it. It was so easy for them. They just asked once and boom, it showed up. There it is, you know. And if we're not careful, we talk ourselves out of seeking. We talk ourselves out of knocking. We talk ourselves out of asking. Because the next part of this story, Jesus says, verse 9, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Those are some very positive terms. Seek, and if I'm feeling benevolent that day, I'll give it to you. No, seek, and you will find. Ask, it shall be given. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. There's some promises there. I'm going to encounter with you. I'm going to show up. We're going to have a habitation. You and I are going to meet. And we're going to have this amazing experience. He goes on and he says in verse 11, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Dad, I'm really hungry. Would you?" You say, "Here, have a rock. Suck on this for a while." None of us would do that. You think, if you're not careful, you and I could think, I'm asking God for an encounter, but I'm going to get a rock. God says, do not worry about that. Seek me. I will give you good gifts. I will not give you something bad. I will not do that. He goes on and he says, if you ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Dad, I want a fish witch, you know. Could you give me a fish sandwich? And he sticks a scorpion in between 2 loaves of bread. You think, no dad's going to do that. You're not going to put a little baby rattlesnake in there, you know, and bite into it. No dad's going to do that. And yet, if you and I aren't careful, we get all weird about seeking and asking and knocking and then letting God be God and giving us an encounter. And we get all weird about maybe that's bad, maybe that's not good, maybe it's a bad experience, maybe it's a bad encounter. I'm totally with you. If you're just in the bar seeking something, you might get a bad something. If you're visiting a witch seeking something, you might get a bad something. If you're popping open the horoscope looking for direction that morning, you might get a bad direction. If you're reading tarot cards and palms and calling 1-800-DIAL-A-DEMON, you know, psychics or whatever. Yeah, if you're doing that stuff, you're gonna get a bad result. But if you ask God, if you seek and if you knock, it will be given to you, and it will be a good gift. So I just want us to get that out of our mind and heart right now. Well, I'm afraid of the Holy Spirit, or I'm afraid of the encounter. I'm afraid of what God's going to do. I'm kind of comfortable here. I know this life is a little sucky, but I don't know what the next life might be if I say yes to God. I don't know what He's going to ask of me. I don't know what He's going to require of me. Get that out of your head. When you ask for God to give you something, whatever He wants to give you, it's going to be good. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for everybody around you. It's going to be good. We just got to get that in our head. Every gift that comes from God, it's good. The encounter that He wants to give you is good. Well, I don't believe in that stuff. Really? You don't believe in an encounter with God? Have you not read this book? It's encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter. Go to Genesis. There's a bunch of encounters in there. Go to Deuteronomy. There's a bunch of encounters in there. 2 Samuel, Nehemiah. There's a bunch of go to Psalms. We're reading Proverbs right now. The month of January, the book of Proverbs. Read that. There's some encounters in there. Tomorrow we're going to talk about adultery, you know, and all this sexual stuff that our world's messed up with. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. You want to go to the book of Matthew? I think there's some encounters there. Mark, Luke, John, book of Acts, encounters. How about the book of Revelation? That's a futuristic one, mostly. There's going to be some more encounters in our future. You should believe in encounters with God. You really should. God isn't a historical figure that used to do stuff. He's alive. He's real. He's with you. He's with me. It's our turn. It's our generation. We're like the book of Acts chapter 492. We're still living encounters with God. If you're not careful, you can live an encounterless Christian life based on doctrines and ideas, philosophies and theories, but not an experience. And I know we're not saved by experience. We're saved by grace through faith. I understand that. But grace and faith will give you the most amazing encounters with God. You want to read Hebrews chapter 11, the big faith chapter? Do you think anybody had an encounter with God in Hebrews chapter 11? My, right? It was just encounter after encounter after encounter. Faith, I know I'm saved by faith. I know I'm saved by grace. I know it sounds spiritual to say I don't need an experience. I have the Bible. But the Bible is a book of experiences and encounters. Use your faith, receive God's grace, but don't be afraid to ask Him for an encounter. Satan would love you to be encounterless. You know why some of our teenagers can go to college and get talked out of believing in God? Because they don't have an encounter with God. Johnny, we got to get our kids encountering God. It's not enough to mentally know and believe. You better be experiencing God. And then when our kids go to college and professors and peer pressure starts pushing on them to push them away from God, they can say, too late, Huckleberry Pie's awesome. I already tried it. Too late. Yeah, if we send our kids off to other places without encounters with God, they are at risk of being talked out of believing in Him. But if we can get ourselves and them to ask, seek, and knock, and experience, wow, that's going to be so awesome. I didn't finish reading that, did I? Even lost my place. If you ask for an egg, will He offer you a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of any of His gifts, any of His manifestations, any of His encounters. We've got so many people that are critical of an encounter that they've not experienced, and they say they don't believe in it because they've not experienced it. If you're asking and seeking from God, and we can get in the flesh, there's no doubt about that, but don't be encounterless because you're trying to err on that side of super caution. Open up your heart and encounter Him. So God wants to give you good gifts, and every one of His gifts are good. Think about the people who had an encounter with Jesus that totally changed their life. The woman caught in adultery, according to the law, she should have been killed and stoned. Instead, Jesus confronted her accusers and said, if you're without sin, you throw the first stone. They all dropped their rocks and they walked away. And He looked at the woman and He said, lady, where are those that are accusing you? And she said, Lord, there are none left. He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Her life was radically changed with that encounter. God wants to use you and I to encounter people. Nicodemus was wealthy. He had stature, but he ended up encountering Jesus so much so that he was used by God. That was the place where Jesus was buried for 3 days until He resurrected. Nicodemus knew, hey, he's just going to borrow it for a while. I'll get it right back, huh? Nicodemus in John chapter 3 said, Jesus, I'm a little confused. What must I do to be born again? He was just hungry and seeking, and Nicodemus had an encounter with God. Luke was a physician, a doctor. Sometimes you think the well-educated, the wealthy people, they don't need an encounter with God. Oh, yes, they do. It's not just us Walmart folks that need encounters with God. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to think of an expensive store. Well, the people that shop at Rodeo Drive, they need an encounter with God too. Even the guys that shop at Cabela's need an encounter with God. Not just us Sportsman's Warehouse guys. Zacchaeus, Matthew, man, all those people. Simon the sorcerer. That dude was a witch. He was a warlock. He was deep into the occult and black magic, and he found out who Jesus was, and he encountered this apostle, and he had a total life change. It took him a little while, you know, but he got there. Hopefully you have encountered God, and you've had some serious upgrades, but you can have more. So there is more. That's why we pray. That's why we fast. There's more. That's why we read and study. There's more. That's why we join a life group and participate in discipleship. There's more. That's why we worship, and that's why we serve passionately, because there's more. If we have all that there is, let's just drink some Kool-Aid and go home. You got to be old enough to know what that means, huh? Oh, Jim Jones had a little Kool-Aid. He served his congregation. They thought there wasn't any more. They were done. It was over. We're not serving Kool-Aid today. You're safe. There's more. Give God your yes because there's more. The answers to your biggest questions are just around the corner. Some of us need freedom. Some of us need deliverance. Some of us need power to overcome. It's available. It's available. It's just around the corner. Keep moving forward. This life with God's not just mentally understanding doctrines and biblical teachings and then gutting it out. Sometimes when I look at Christianity today, I see people that study doctrine and study the Bible, and then they just want to gut it out from there. In this series, we're going to look at several books of the New Testament that just opens up with the grace of God be multiplied to you, the peace of God be multiplied to you. And the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter, they were all wanting their congregation members to experience more. There's more grace. There's more mercy. There's more that God wants for you. And they kept encouraging them to go get more. God wants to multiply grace in your life. 2015 is a year of God inviting you and I into more. He intends to pour out new experiences and encounters on you. And some of you might just be sitting back going, yeah, right, just more Christian rhetoric. And I understand, after a lot of decades of not experiencing God, being a little skeptical. I understand that. But my prayer for you is that you will encounter God this year, and He will turn your skepticism into passionate belief, into joy and peace like you've never known before. It's my prayer for you today. God intends to bless you. He intends to answer your prayers. He intends to use us to bless other people and many more this year. It's time for an upgrade. It's time for you to experience an upgrade. Amen? Amen. Maybe prayer and fasting is like a virus removal tool on your computer. You've been infected with a virus. Run this program and we will remove it and everything will start working better. Reading your Bible has a similar effect, doesn't it? Coming to church should have a similar effect like that on your life. Let's pray together. God, this morning, we want to be people that encounter you. There is more than what we currently experience and know. Lord, show us. God, we open our heart. We will seek you. We will knock. We will ask. We will be persistent, and we will receive. Lord, I thank you for that. God, those that are discouraged and skeptical because it's been so long, and they've had many disappointments, I pray this would be a year of breakthrough for them, an amazing year of joy and experiencing you. Amen. Amen. If you get your Connect cards out today, and there's a couple things in there. You want to check those boxes. We're cranking up life groups here next week. If you're not signed up, you can get signed up back there at the Information Center and also on your Connect card. Hopefully, if nobody has connected with you and you thought you signed up, you thought you were on track, nobody's connected with you, make sure you go back to the Information Center and or write it on your Connect card. Say, hey, I want to be a part of this. Nobody's called me. Because we've been calling and contacting the people that we thought had signed up. So if you want to jump in right now. We'd love that. Amen. There's a couple of things in your Connect card that you can respond to the sermon with. I'm ready for more. I'm asking God to upgrade my life with Him this year.